Good morning. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you with thanks because you have given us so much. Lord, as we open up your word, I pray that your spirit will guard our hearts. And may the word of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts will be acceptable in your sight this morning. Thank you for hearing our prayers, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. After the First World War, hundreds of French soldiers who served at the war were deeply traumatized by the horror of the war. And as a result, they couldn't remember who they were. And in those days, there weren't any pictures in the military records, and most of the information weren't correct. Since they couldn't remember who they were, they couldn't remember where they were from. And even though each of them must have a home and family members, they have no idea where they would return to after the war. So someone thought of a very good way. They suggested an identification rally to be held in Paris. And they announced that throughout France, hoping that families who have members serving in the war who didn't come back would go to Paris and identify their loved ones. So on that very day of that rally, thousands of people gathered in a large plaza in Paris. One by one, those soldiers went up the platform and anxiously asked, "Please, please, can somebody tell me who I am?" We all have an identity. We have our last name, we have our first name, we have our date of birth, our nationality, and so on and so forth. For a lot of things we do, we need something to prove our identity. For example, you need two IDs to open up your bank account. So you see how important having an identity is. But you know what? It's equally important knowing our spiritual identity. Now, let me ask all of you, do you know who you are? Do you? I hope you won't be as desperate as those soldiers in the story to yell out to everyone, "Can anyone tell me who I am?" Even if people think you are an idiot and no one replies to you, our scriptural verse this morning will give you some hints. Ephesians 2:10. "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Now, let's look at the verse again. It tells us our spiritual identity, and it tells us three things about ourselves. First, we are God's workmanship. Second, we are created in Christ Jesus to do good works. And this good works is what God has prepared in advance for us to do. Now, let me ask you all of you a question. What is workmanship? Another word for workmanship is creation. You all know what creation is, right? Genesis 1:27 tells us, "God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." Now, how many of you were told by your friends that you look like your mom or dad? How many? Quite a number. Okay, now, in verse 27, it tells us that we are made in God's image. So we should look like God, right? Agree? Yeah. Now, I mean, our features might not be identical with God, but we should at least have some resemblances of God's characteristics. Now, let me share a story. This story is told by a pastor's kid who's in his 20s. He's a man, okay? Now, one time at a public meeting, this pastor's kid met an old pastor whom he hasn't seen for about 6 or 7 years. And this old pastor knew his dad. So this pastor's kid came up to this old pastor and asked if he remembered who he is. And this old pastor probably was a little too old, and his memory probably were fading away. And he shook his head and said, "Oh, sorry, I don't think I remember who you are." And at that very moment, the meeting is going to start. So this pastor's kid has to go and lead the meeting. So even though he wanted to speak to the old pastor, he has no opportunity to do so. But at the end of the service, this pastor's kid was so surprised to see this old pastor came up to him and said, "Hey, young man, I know who you are. You are so-and-so's son." And this pastor's kid was so surprised, and he said, "Yeah, you're right. You now remember me." And this old pastor then shook his head again and said, "No, just now at the meeting, your manner and the way you talked looked just like your dad. So I was pretty sure you are his son." Now, for your information, this pastor's kid doesn't look a bit like his dad. But other people could tell that he is his dad's son just by the way he carried himself and by the way he talked. Okay, now, let me ask all of you these questions. Since we were made after God's image, how much of God's love and kindness do we reflect from our everyday life? And how many non-believers can tell that we are Christians by the way we speak and by the way we act? How many? Do we love what God loves? And do we hate what God hates? Do we forgive because God forgives? And do we show mercy to those who are undeserving because God is a God of mercy? Those are very good questions and definitely worth putting our thoughts into. Now, let's continue to look at Genesis 1, but in another verse, verse 31. It says, "God saw all that he made, and it was very good." So it tells us that we are made in God's image, and God considered everything he made were good, and that includes you and me. Now, let me ask all of you a question. Are you happy with how you look? Your eyes, your nose, your mouth, your weight, your height. Are you happy with those? Tons of people wanted to change the shape of their faces, the color of their eyes, and so on and so forth. They didn't know the fact that we are all made by God. And God sees each of us as good. And we are beautiful in his sight. I want all of you to look at this picture. You all know who he is. It's a good comparison. You know, Michael Jackson had tons of plastic surgery. Honestly, can you tell me which picture looks better? The one on the left or the one on the right? The left, I'm sure. I would pick the little Michael Jackson. I think God made a beautiful Michael before he had all those tons of plastic surgery. So if you are not happy with how you look, and you're trying all means to change that, the outcome will be worse than what you have right now. And this is a good example. David, in Psalm 139, verse 14, praise God by saying, "I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. We have no idea how David looked. He might be very handsome or he might be very ugly. I don't know. But no matter how handsome or ugly he was, he appreciated the handiwork of God in creating him. And to show his appreciation, he praised God because we are all wonderfully made. Now, I have a question for all of you. Did it ever occur to you that you should praise God because he made us all wonderful? Now, let's take a look at the second part of our verse. The first part says, we are all God's workmanship. And the second part says, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Don't you find it confusing when first it says, we are God's workmanship, and then the second part says, we are created in Christ Jesus? Why are we created in Christ Jesus? God not only made us, he sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins so we would be saved from the penalty of sin, which is death. We are saved not because of any good works we've done and not because of how smart we are. It's all because of the unconditional love and grace of the Lord. If you have your Bible, please take a look at two verses up from Ephesians 2:10. Let's take a look at verses 8 to 9. And it says, "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." Once we accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and say no to sin, we are his new creation. A verse that you all know very well, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 to 18, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. And all these are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ." Now, I guess you would understand why in Ephesians 2:10 it says, we are created in Christ Jesus. Let me tell you a story as an illustration. There was a little boy who made a wooden boat as a toy. He was very satisfied with what he made, and he tied a rope at the head of the boat and decided to take this little boat to the riverside to play with it. Once he put that little boat on the water, there was a big wave, and when he was about to pull that little rope so that the boat won't drift away, he pulled it too hard, and the rope broke. And helplessly, he saw his little boat drifted away with the wave. He thought that was the last time he was going to see the little boat that he made, and he went home feeling very sad. A few days later, on the way home after school, he passed by a store, and on the display window, he saw a little wooden boat looking exactly the same as what he'd made. He went inside the store and asked if he could have the boat. He told the store owner he made that boat and that boat belongs to him. The owner of the store told this little boy, "This little boat belongs to another man, and this man brought it to the store that morning and asked the store owner to sell it for him. If this little boy really wants the boat, he would have to buy it." And the store owner told this little boy how much the boat is selling for. So this little boy quickly ran home and took out his piggy bank. He broke it and counted how much he has. And to his surprise, that's exactly the same amount the store owner said. So he quickly went back to the store and gave all he had to the store owner and asked for the little boat back. The store owner took that little boat from the display window and put it back in the arms of the little boy. And the little boy embraced that little boat And he knew very well that's the same boat that he has made. Then he said to that little boat, "Little boat, this is the second time you belong to me. The first time is when I made you. And the second time is when you drifted away. I found you and I purchased you back." Dear friends, dear brothers and sisters, we are all like that little boat. God made us, but the sin inside of us caused us to drift away from our Creator. And just like that little boat being swallowed by the waves, but God never gave up on us. We are still the heart of God's heart, and God still loves us so much. God sent His only Son, Jesus, to come to this earth, to die on the cross for all our sins. And through the blood Jesus shed, we were purchased back from the penalty of sin, which is death, so we would enjoy everlasting life with God, our Creator, forever and ever. And this is what is meant by created in Christ Jesus. Okay, now let's take a look back at our scriptural verse this morning. We are God's workmanship, and just now, through the story, we understand it is what is meant by created in Christ Jesus. But the scriptural verse didn't stop here. It says, we are created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So, God created us. God has given us a purpose to do good works. We are created for a purpose, and that purpose is to do good works. So in another word, God didn't stop after He created us. He continues to work in our lives, and He's never finished with us. Have you seen people wearing a t-shirt with these letters on? Anyone has seen it? Guess what those letters stands for? PBPGINFWMY. Any idea? Please be patient. God is not finished with me yet. There was one sign outside the church, and it says, "Construction zone, Jesus at work." Would you like to put that sign outside this church? I think they are right, you know what? Because God keeps working in our lives so that we will be able to fulfill His purpose for us, and that is to do good works. Any of you have seen a drunken man in the street before? If you go to Chinatown or if you go downtown East Side, you will see a lot of these people. They just lie on the streets, and most of the time they were not conscious, and at least they could not hold a job. And I don't think anyone would like to hire a person like that. Do you think these people are useful people? I guess most of us won't think so. And many of us won't even want to go near these people. But let me tell you a story. And this story happens many, many years ago in Chicago. One day, towards the end of the 19th century, a drunk man in Chicago headed towards Lake Michigan. He just got out of prison, and he wanted to drown himself. He wanted to die. But it so happened, he wandered in this place, Pacific Garden Mission, a place where they take in homeless people and give them a warm meal and a shelter for the night. It's very, very similar to what we have here, the UGM. You all know what that is. This man was very drunk, and when he was at the door and couldn't really walk in, so the man in charge of the mission, Colonel Clark, got him in the door. And at that time, a preacher was preaching at that time, and the drunk man collapsed and fell asleep in front of the preacher. His name was Harry Monroe. Even though he was drunk, somehow he heard the whole gospel. And on that very night, he responded to the Savior and was transformed by the grace of God. His life was changed. And soon after, he was able to use his gifts and his good voice to take charge of leading songs in the service. And later on, he would preach the gospel from the same platform where he once slept as a drunk man. And eventually, he would become the superintendent of the mission, and he touched many lives. When he died, it took one full day for the people to come and pay their last respects. And on the newspaper, they described him as one of the most useful men in Chicago at that time. But let me ask all of you, was he useful before he was saved? Would you consider him as useful as a drunk man? What made the difference in his life? The answer is God's ongoing workmanship, God's ongoing construction in his life. God wasn't finished with him as a drunk man. If God didn't grab him from his suicide and rebuild his life, a lot of people in this world would have missed a useful man. But God took his life, worked on it, and made him a masterpiece. And as a result, he was doing the good work that God has prepared in advance for him to do. And he was fit to demonstrate, please be patient. God is not finished with me yet. Now, after hearing this story, and if you're still puzzled about how you would know for sure what God wants you to do, I have a real story to share with you. There's a lady with the name of Hannah Ball, and she came to believe in Jesus Christ in 1762. That was a long time ago, I know. After she received Jesus Christ as her personal Savior, she wasn't sure how she could serve the Lord. And one morning, she rose before dawn to attend John Wesley's 5 a.m. preaching service. And Wesley was preaching on Matthew chapter 15 about a Canaanite woman whose daughter was demon-possessed. And this Canaanite woman cried out to Jesus for help, and Jesus granted her wish. And Jesus said to her in verse 28, "Woman, you have a great faith. Your request is granted." This looks like a very simple sermon, but for 5 months, Hannah Ball couldn't get it. What was stuck in her mind was that Jesus said in verse 28, and finally, she gave herself wholly to Jesus Christ and went on to become the pioneer of Sunday schools in England. And he started the first program 14 years before Robert Raitt established his Sunday school program. And later on, Hannah shared with other people what went through her mind during those times when she was pondering on God's word. And she said that she put her own name in verse 28 and felt Jesus was speaking directly to her. And of course, Jesus was. When we read the Bible, it's always a good idea to put our names there and hear God speaking to us, just like what he did to the Canaanite woman in Matthew 15. And that's how Hannah Ball got to start the good work that God has prepared in advance for her to do. So please don't think that only Hannah Ball and Harry Monroe can accomplish good things that God has prepared in advance for them to do. We all can. Because the scriptural verse this morning says, we are created by God, and we are God's workmanship. All of us are. Now it's up to us whether we would yield to God's work and the promptings of the Holy Spirit and allow Him to work in our lives. Keep constructing our lives so that we would be able to do the good works that God has prepared in advance for us to do. So let our lives be a continuous construction site for God to work in us. And let us allow His Word and the Spirit to change us daily so that we can do the good works that He has prepared for us to do. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, I want to pray for every soul in this room. If we don't know who we are, I pray that by Your Word, now we know. Thank You for loving us, and thank You for creating us. And thank You for giving us Your Word so we know what You have and what purposes You have for our lives, Lord. We all know that we each of us are precious in Your sight, and You have a will for each of our lives. May we be able to yield to the promptings of Your Spirit, and may we be able to yield to the calling of Your voice from Your Word, that we will be able to follow Your call and do the good works that You have prepared for each of us to do. Lord, we know that we are all very different, but we all know that You have given each of us gifts, and that these gifts are not only for ourselves, that's for Your glory. So may we be able to know how to put our gifts into use to bring glory to You as well as to bless others. Thank You for hearing our prayers, and in Jesus' name we pray.